So without any further ado, this sister, they say, these things come in small packages. I love this woman because she is the minister of confrontation. And she always tells it like it is. So on behalf of all of the committees that planned this event for Leonard Pelfield, welcome Sister Pam Allen. One more. Wow. After Leonard, everybody else, you know, we come really to share a picture and give hope, an example, another example of hope that, you know, we can with this government. Despite CNN and all the news media and all the food forces called the government, and we were able to bring what we are home at that home, off of death row after 30 years. But it took, like the sister was saying, some hard, dedicated work. There was times when the numbers was very few. And then there was times when the numbers was just overwhelming. And it always tricked the government, and you know, because with all this COINTELPRO schemes, and you know, they failed. I never forget the FOP and every DA from the time when he was arrested, every governor from the time when he was arrested promised the FOP that they will actually kill Mumia. There was no doubt in our mind. And Tookie was an example, and you know, people was afraid that, you know, this would happen with Mumia. And Shaka Sankofa was an example. And but we, the people, was consistent and vigilant. And you know, not only by writing petitions, but you know, when the FOP did something wrong against Mumia, we was at their door. And you know, the numbers was always large, and you know, but it was a force that they understood, just like in this movement, they understand that when they see a small number, it represents many around the world. So I want to say that Leonard's tears are our tears. Leonard's pain is our pain. And we use those tears and all to strengthen our bodies like water does our bodies. It gives us strength to come at this government and all to back it down. The pain of separation with Leonard and his family, Leonard and the movement family, and only gives us strength to continue to fight. Just like today, I suppose we organized for a big event for tomorrow. And but I had to be here, and I'm gonna have to leave soon. Came from Philadelphia, and because it's important, I want Leonard to know, I want everyone here to know that we raise babies on the fight for Leonard Peltier. Those babies are now raising babies with Leonard Peltier on his lips, on their lips, and we will continue to be that way. Leonard had asked a while ago to do a portrait for Mumia, and we just couldn't come up with a portrait. But now, the portrait of what Mumia envisioned for years and years and years, the portrait, the vision of being with his wife and his family, this is the portrait that I want to give to Leonard and to do for Mumia. And one, that the work that Leonard has done behind the bars, because he raised the consciousness of people on Mumia. That picture will be the only picture that no one will see until Leonard turns it over into a portrait for the world. I want to thank people for having us here. And another thing that Leonard, Mumia, Jalil Monarchy has done, you know, recently, and we're doing a mass mobilization in Washington dealing with restricted housing units. And while the world is in shock over what is happening to Mumia in those restricted housing units, we have now, and the torture that goes on. We have a lot of people who have gotten involved in what's happened with Wamiya there, and we're letting them know that, you know, that example is just an example of what has happened to a whole lot of people. So the mobilization around torture right now in dealing with the case for Wamiya is the mobilization of what is happening with Leonard. Leonard will be on the lips of the special rapporteur on torture that Sister Suzanne Ross is working with right now, and you know, to bring full attention. I want to thank everybody for having us here. Thank everybody, all the warriors, for coming. And keep up the work, stay strong, stay vigilant, and because they say it can't happen, we don't know what is going to happen. A lot of people didn't have the idea that Wamiya will come off of death row. And they thought he would be a restricted housing unit for at least 6 months to a year. It took us 30 years to whoop their ass and bring Wamiya out here. Excuse me, church. And it took us 6-7 weeks to bring him out of restricted housing unit. I'm saying, you know, these examples, we must, you know, spread the word of one. And, you know, we must continue to go. Our event tomorrow, and, you know, I can't go without speaking about, you know, the lawyers that have been involved in the work around Wamiya. Lynn Stewart, who is now in jail, not because she's a criminal, and Lynn Stewart is in jail because she has resisted. Leonard has always been on the lips of Lynn Stewart. And, you know, they're torturing her wherever she's at, you know? So let's keep all these political prisoners in hand, and the tears that we have for Leonard, the pain that we feel for Leonard, let's turn them into the work to free Leonard. Want to move.
Let no one say that this movement can get on without our women warriors. If you get a little fidgety, I hope it's to reach into those pockets for another donation, because we still have a slam program coming up. Newsflash, we want to welcome somebody you all know who just arrived. His name is Fred Ho. Fred, where are you? Fred! Thank you. Okay, before we continue with the program, as part of the program, we're going to have the Red Storm. I'm going to do a blanket dance, so if you join me, we'd really appreciate it. Thank you for the blessing, sisters and brothers.
His Cherokee name is Yonu Nega. and he often goes by Oso Blanco, which means white bear. He's in prison for expropriating money from U.S. banks so as to help fund the Chiapas uprising of the Zapatistas. So right now, he needs our help because he suffered a lot of abuse for his political status and for his indigenous sovereignty at the hands of U.S. people who were. Most recently, he had his property packed up when they thought he had a transfer. That transfer was canceled. When his property finally came back to him, his address book is ripped in two. More importantly, inside that, other things were ransacked, destroyed. Most importantly, inside that were his official Cherokee papers. They're destroying it at this time is interesting, or disappearing it or stealing it, whatever they did, because he just used a recent article about the United States having no plenary powers over sovereign nations. He used that argument to make some type of filing at USP Lewisburg. So, I'm sorry, in response to that, his documents were destroyed. So there's going to be a call-in starting this Monday. People are asked to call USP Lewisburg. This is about Chubbuck, number 799-051. You call 570-523-1251. That's 570-523-1251. Ask for Gordon Bledsoe and demand that his harassment stop and that his property be returned to him. We have this flyer in the back with our New York Anarchist Black Cross table in the back. You can Google South Brooklyn ADCF or Oso Blanco. Thanks so much.
Sisters and brothers, our apologies. Thanks again for the blanket dance. The floor is yours and our appreciation.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Red Storm, and thank all of you. In Spanish, Red Storm is La Tormenta Roja. Kinda has a ring to it.
Azúcar!
Thank you, Red Storm. And front and center for the donation. Where are you? No. Well, continuing with this SLAM program, the Coatlicue Theater Company is in the house. Hello, the Colorado Sisters are in the house. Come on, let's hear it. Let's welcome the Colorado Sisters.
And to all you women warriors who are struggling here
working in your communities, luchando por un mejor mundo donde quepan todos los mundos, for a better world.
We bring you, Leonard Mumia, and all the prisoners, political prisoners. We bring you the energy of the North, the energy of remembrance, the energy of our ancestors. Again, may it be with you always. May it not be forgotten.
We bring you the energy of the South, the warriors, for all the warriors, Leonard Pelletier, Mumia, all those who are still behind bars, all those who have been released, all those male warriors who are also working here and struggling in their communities. We bring you that energy.
We bring you the energy of the heart of the sky for the work that has been done. We give thanks for the work that lies ahead.
We bring you the energy of my Madrecita La Tierra, our Mother Earth. She who is here protecting all of us, who gives us everything, our sustenance. We bring you that energy of our Mother Earth.
And we cannot forget Señor Rosas, who is here, who is out of prison, and who is carrying on the work. Plaza Camatli, Zumi Hamadi, Señor Rosas, for carrying on the work.
Burn burning brightly, refusing to die.
Those books that are banned are by indigenous people, indigenous authors. Those books are our history. Those books are in our hearts. They may have taken those books and locked them in closets, as they have locked our political prisoners. But those books, the words are in our hearts. They're the stories of our creation, of where we come from, of who we are, and we are here.
Network. So, Brother William, I
someone up, but no one in here has accessorized.
First, good afternoon. Chante washte and the bet chizapi. I shake your hand with a glad heart. And we say that because when we greet each other, we should greet each other with a glad heart. First of all, la kota weyate, etamahi. The dapu yuwa la kitekina, lener kachir chiokihe, kashkana hachiyoke. First of all, I come from the Lakota Nation. I grew up on Pine Ridge Indian Reservation during what was called the Brain of Terror. I was 11, from 10 years old to about 12 years old. And back in those days, there were some elders that made a call to bring in some warriors called American Indian Movement. Because as a child, I witnessed extreme violence at us, towards us, what they call the traditionals, full-bloods, and they harassed us. So the call was put out there to call the warriors of American Indian Movement. I remember them coming when I was a kid, and people were scared of them. They said they were intimidated. These Indian people looked very strong, probably like savages, but they came. And they came because there were women and children out there suffering at the hands of the federal government. And there was things going on back in 1973 that really hurt a lot of people. First of all, the land that was being taken away under the pretense of natural resources. They were trying to extract uranium. And so those types of things were going on, and they were using the political forces, the police forces, to harass us. Harass and beat and torture Lakota Oyate. The ultimate straw was when there was a man named Raymond Yellow Thunder was killed at the hands of some rednecks in a town called Gordon, Nebraska. And they tortured him, threw him in a car, a trunk of a car, to die. And so that was the last straw, and they called the American Indian Movement to come in and support the women and children. So I remember growing up and watching all these feds, the police force, the U.S. Marshals. I remember walking up the street to go to school and watching these U.S. Army tanks loaded with U.S. Army personnel, the U.S. Marshals carrying high-powered armor-piercing weapons. And that's what they were using on us. And one of the biggest things that I was so happy about is a lot of my uncles and cousins came back from Vietnam, warriors that knew how to use guns, that knew how to stand up for women and children. And that's what happened. They came to a place called Wounded Knee, and they stood their ground, one of the original occupations. When we talk about occupying, we always have to remember where we're coming from. So I think about all the things that my people have to offer. And the first thing is humility. The second is our prayers. And when many people come to support Native women and children, we give thanks. And in that manner, I want to talk a little bit about Leonard also. His daughter came here on 9/11. She came as part of a EMT crew that came to the World Trade Center site. And nobody knew who she was. We were kind of happy in that way too. But she came here as a Native American woman to support America when America was hurting, to work at the World Trade Center. And as we know now, there were no bodies to rescue. I was here that day. I came in the night before and I watched this happening, and I'm wondering, they lit one on us. They lit one on us. Called a sacred fire. They lit one on us. And the reason they did that wasn't because of me and you. It was because of the imperialistic regimes that are in power here in America. And that's what Leonard Peltier and all the movement were fighting against. And I talk about what's happening out there now. Pine Ridge is still one of the poorest counties in the United States. is still very, very oppressed. And so these are the types of things that we still endure. But also something happens. Our kids are grown up. There's a whole new generation grown up that don't know Wounded Knee, that don't know who Leonard Peltier is, that don't know what the struggles of the Americas are, of other tribes, of the beautiful things that we stood up for. We need to reach out to them, and I can see very clearly here that we're not reaching out to the youth. We need to reach out further and teach them their own history, because if we don't teach their history to them, we won't have any future warriors. And so what we're doing now is December 18th, there was a walk that started in California on Alcatraz Island. Another original occupation. Probably one of the longest on Alcatraz. So those types of things are continuously going on. And so that day, December 18th, we did a sunrise ceremony, a prayer. Many people offered their tobacco offerings to the Creator at the sacred fire we had on Alcatraz. And the reason we did that is because Leonard needs help, like everybody here keeps saying. Leonard needs help. His grandchildren need help. His daughters need help. We need to get him out of there. Dennis Banks was given a key to Alcatraz. And we told him, okay, we're going to use that key to get Leonard out. And so just those types of things is symbolic. But also it's very good that you people are here. Because again, as a young man, when people called, they showed up. And so we're making this call on right now because there's a walk, a spiritual walk going on. Everything that's been tried, we've come up to this level right now. Leonard's still in there. We need to grant him executive clemency. We need for you all to reach out to President Obama and tell him, I'm not going to vote for you until you let him go. We need 50 million people to call him, because those signatures on those petitions are very valid. There's over 1.5 million signatures on a petition to release him. But we need to urge President Obama, if he's going to get a second term, he better release Leonard. So the spiritual walk that they're walking on is a family walking, because they went to go visit Leonard and they asked him, what can we do for you, Leonard? And he says, I can't do anything from in here. You all are going to have to do it. And so they mentioned a walk, and his family came home from a Sundance. One of the young men was Sundancing. And during the Sundance, he received a message from the Creator that this is one thing that can help. We need to re-educate America. We need to re-educate America on indigenous issues and indigenous rights, because we're still severely lacking in those things. And so this request for executive clemency is very important. We need as many people to come to D.C. on December 18th, or May 18th, and receive the walkers into Washington, D.C. And hopefully we're going to have, I'm dreaming, 1 million walkers. But again, that's a prayer, that's a vision. So we're asking you all to support this walk as much as possible, because again, coming from the West, our relatives are walking through redneck lands. Coming through Arizona, where one of the most racist governments has enacted laws against indigenous peoples, against indigenous migration. So those are the types of things we're looking at. When they come here, we're going to ask President Clinton to let them go. But meanwhile, they still need attorneys and all of this to file those paperwork, executive clemency. And one of the things that we have to worry about is sometimes these politicians like money. If we have to buy us freedom, we should do that. And I want to thank the Warrior Society from Rhode Island coming with me, accompanying me, accompanying Leonard and the songs. We're going to offer a song in a bit, but we will have very limited time. So once again, I want to think about Leonard and his children and his grandchildren. Wache kichi chiapo, unshi lapo, om kiapo, unshi lapo, echeke mitapi api.
Thank you, William, and the baggage, for your contribution. Let's hear it for William.
done by Leonard. And you can see Maggie, when she came up, she had on this t-shirt. Everybody needs to be wearing a t-shirt that says Free Leonard Peltier, Free All U.S. Held Political Prisoners. We advertise in that way because we know that we are visual people. That's the beauty that's indicative around this room. Okay, the CD is called In the Spirit of Crazy Horse. So, get those love offerings, get those raffles so you can take any one of these beautiful gift items home. Oh, okay. Oh, great, wonderful book. Yes. I teach high school students. I use that book with my students.
Thanks, the queen. Thank you, ma'am. We know, as surely as we know that there's unity and diversity, we also know that there are many tools and many trenches of struggle in the people's resistance throughout this planet. One of the most important tools that we have is culture as resistance. And often, that cultural resistance requires and demands that we recognize our indigenous people. Because we will not allow that their history and memory be erased from the collective memory of humanity. Our next speaker is Roberto Mucaro Borrero, and he is one of those fighters. Roberto Mucaro is the president of the United Confederation of Taino People, an activist and longtime supporter for the call for freedom for Leonard Peltier. He's also a former host of BAI's Circle of Red Nations and is currently the chairperson of the non-governmental organization, NGO Committee, on the United Nations International Decade of the World's Indigenous Peoples. Long live the world's indigenous peoples, Roberto Mucaro Borrero.
I just wanted to greet you in my own native language, my own Taino language, because although we're communicating in this common language, English, así podemos hablar también en español, those languages are not our own. They're part of the colonial history of this hemisphere. So it's always good for us to remember that our peoples come from someplace, and we came with something. And language and culture is part of it. So I feel very honored to be here. The United Confederation of Taino People is very proud to lend its name, supporting today's event and trying to advertise and get the word out. We've been doing this for a while. For Leonard, we haven't forgotten. I think that's the most important thing here, is that we don't forget, right? Is that we go from this place. Each one of us has a responsibility, right? Just as we have a responsibility for the earth to take care of our own selves and our lives and our families, but we also have a responsibility to spread the message that you're hearing here today, to spread those songs, all that feeling that comes with it, to let everybody know, as Martin Luther King said, an injustice anywhere is an injustice everywhere. And that's, I think that sums up what's happening here with Leonard Peltier. It's a grave injustice that's ongoing, and that we need to educate. I like that idea about education. And hopefully that's what we're doing today, not just educating those who know about it, but that those who know about it continue to have the strength to keep moving forward. Because I know sometimes these struggles are hard, but you can imagine how hard it is for Leonard, and then you can get that extra energy to continue, because at least we're outside, right? Although this is turning into inside, even outside these days. But for that, I just want to say that it's very apropos on this time period around February, beginning of February, that we have a gathering like this, because right at the beginning 500 years ago, when colonizers were first coming over to this hemisphere and they encountered Taino people in the Caribbean islands. There was a lot of freedom fighters, and we remember some of the names of our great cacique or chiefs, Aguevana, Hatue in particular, Anacaona. It was on February 2nd in the early 1500s that Hatue was waging freedom fighting in the islands, and he went from the island of Quisqueya, which is known as the Dominican Republic in Haiti today, over to the island of Cuba. And he went to go fight Spaniards there, and at some point he was captured by the Spaniards, and they were going to burn him at the cross, right on a stake, and remind people that they were burning Taínos at that time, 13 at a time, 12 to represent the apostles and one to represent the Lord and Savior. This was the Christianity that our people were getting right at the beginning of contact. So when they were about to burn Hatue at the stake, the Christian priest comes over and says, you know, do you want to be baptized? So that, and Hatue was like, well, what does that mean, being baptized? He goes, well, when we baptize you, that means that your soul will be able to go to heaven. And so Hatue looked at him as he was tied to the stake, and he says, so where did this, is that where the Spaniards go to this heaven? And he says, yeah, well, yes, of course, all the Spaniards who are baptized and go to heaven. And he goes, well, then let me burn. I'd rather go to hell. I'd rather not be where they are, the people who are so horrible. So that happened on February 2nd, 1512. So it's really apropos that we're still talking about freedom today, and that this is ongoing here in this hemisphere, this oppression and this horrific battle to wipe out, and make no mistake about it, it's about wiping out indigenous peoples, it's about wiping out traditional knowledge. That's why they're pushing genetically modified foods on you without letting you know what's genetically modified. That's why our people in the barrios, in the neighborhoods, and in the reservations have to eat preservatives and all kinds of things in their foods when our grandparents used to be able to grow food. What's happening now, organic foods is like the new in thing. And if you have money, you can get organic foods, right? But our people who originally grew the organic foods and who continue to grow the foods for them can't even afford the foods that they're getting. We have to see the linkages in all these things. The imprisonment and long-standing imprisonment of Leonard Peltier, genetically modified foods, the assault on the environment, it's all connected. And I think that's the important message that we're going to take here today. So brothers and sisters, I don't want to go on too much longer. I just want to take a moment to sound this guamo, or this conch shell horn. This was like our cell phone before the arrival of technology, so to speak. We were able to communicate with these things over long distances with our people. And I just want to make one sounding of this guamo for all the freedom fighters of long ago, of today, for all the mothers who are also freedom fighters, right? And for the women. And this is where the base of our culture begins, because although the Spaniards came in with patriarchy, we are indigenous people connected to the energy of the woman first, and as a woman as creator. And that was our creator, that's why we sing Mother Earth. So let's remember that today when I sound this, and I'll end there. Thank you, brothers.
The Lakulu Yor Haitian Community Organization in Brooklyn had an event last night. And they graciously and in solidarity have given us a $200 donation for the Lennon Peltier National Fundraising Effort. We will continue to recognize and support the Haitian community. Many of us here today during the earthquake did whatever we could, food, donations, etc., to support the people of Haiti. And we will continue to do so. And we say to the sisters and brothers of Lacoon, New York, that they should not hesitate to call on us and our organizations for the support and solidarity for the people of Haiti. Long live the Haitian people. In this struggle and in this resistance, we recognize, as I said earlier, many tools, maybe many trenches, maybe in many arenas of struggle. And we also know that in our struggle and our resistance, one of the things that strengthens us in our struggles, in our diversity, is song and is music. It's unthinkable, the idea that we would live and struggle without music. Music motivates us, inspires us, and helps us to keep moving forward in our struggles. It is for this reason that we like to recognize and honor many of the people's musicians, artists, and dancers in the movement. We're privileged that we were able to be joined today by Fred Ho, and I would ask you to show some love for Fred, who's here with us today. One of the brothers who works with Fred, who's part of a lot of his contributions, is Ben Barson. Ben Barson is happy to join us today to share the music of a revolutionary black radical, Cal Macy. So please give it up for Ben, who is with us.
It's an emotional training to train the resources from the movement for the liberation of land, of hearts and minds, and it requires nothing less than spiritual healing for us to regain our collective sense of purpose and humanity. This is why we have to honor not only our warriors on the field of battle, but also our warriors in the field of culture. And this is why I want to bring to you the attention of a brother by the name of Calvin Massey from the 1950s and 60s era. Though he was born in the 20s, his music was recorded by Coltrane, Charlie Parker, Lee Morgan, a whole pantheon of the greatest. But because he was more committed to working in the community, to helping the streets, to raising money for Huey Newton, the Panther 21, his work was not remembered, his memory has been destroyed in the Jazz Academy. And it's the work of us, of revolutionaries, to bring his name back into popular consciousness. When he was in Algeria in 1967 at the Pan-African Conference, he met Eldridge Cleaver, who asked him to commission an opus to black liberation. Cal Massey wrote a 9-movement suite called the Black Liberation Movement Suite. 9 movements. One to Martin Luther King Jr., one to Malcolm X, one to Marcus Garvey, with all of the anti-imperialist indignation and anti-capitalist fervor that was needed to bring down white supremacy. I'm going to play you an excerpt of that historic work. Its name is Babylon, though I have to update it because the nature of Babylon has changed in ways that Cal did not anticipate. Genetically modified crops, new apartheid, the continued occupation of Palestine, these are things that not even a prophetic soul could have seen. And it is with this spirit that I wish to struggle against the same forces. Please witness Babylon. Thank you.
Come see me or come see Fred Ho, who is under the musical direction of
Before you leave, we'd love for you to be there, and thank you once again to all the brothers and sisters in the struggle, and let's enjoy the continued evening. Thank you very much.
Kimona to our Creator. Again, we come and we thank you for this gathering. We thank you for all you have done for our brothers who's incarcerated. My brother and myself, Anthony Griffin from the Senate Congress, 45 years in prison for something he didn't do. But because we didn't have the money for lawyers, he's still in there. We've all been in prison ever since European contact. We ask the Creator to look upon our hearts as men and women, brothers and sisters on Turtle Island, long before it was called the USA. We come in humbleness to your Son, the Christ, the Holy Spirit that guides us to the four directions. We ask you to look to our children, those who are innocent, that are now in jail because of what the government is doing to us. We ask you to look at our moms, our grandmoms, our elders, our tribes, our reservations, our Mother Earth, the Father Sky, the water that polluted, the food that we can't eat no more, the animals that are dying so we can't have that. We ask you to look upon us as we go out of this building into this big city. At one time, this was a reservation. It was native land at one time. But you know these truths to release our brother, Leonard Peltier. I sat with him many times as a sun dancer from the east. We asked you to look over all those who could not make it. And for all these programs that goes on through Indian land across this world, we ask you to bless those sun dancers, all those medicine keepers, all those dancers, all those veterans that fell because of what we are doing today. Our moms, the nurses, the doctors, our children, our sisters. We ask you at this time to bless both drug groups that sing these songs from you. All these songs are healing songs, so we won't remember. We'll never forget. When you're all here as brothers and sisters, I wish that everybody make it home safely to your home. And tell them about what we did today so it could never happen again. We pray for our brother release, all those who've been incarcerated since European contact. Aho, amatakiyase.
Aho, aho.
Confederation of Taino people. We have many volunteers here who have helped with setting up tables, providing food, and we want to hear some love for them. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sisters and brothers, those who believe in the people, those who believe in resistance, those who believe in the love of the people are gathered here today. And I think we will all agree It has been a very good day. Thank you so much for joining us. Free Leonard Peltier! Free Leonard Peltier! Free Leonard Peltier! Don't forget the raffles. See Diane, see all the other volunteers. Enjoy the rest of your evening and weekend. We hope to see you soon.